Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on Holy Trinity Sunday. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My name is Chastity Jones, and I am a member of the Church Council. Welcome to Zion UCC. We are a faith community that seeks to learn, serve, and grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are on your life's journey, you are welcome here. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio and to all who join us online through our website, zionleesewer.com. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card found in front of you in the pews and put it in the offering plate so our pastor can connect with you. Finally, please fill out prayer requests with your joys and concerns and turn it into the ushers during passing of the peace. Today's radio broadcast and bulletins are sponsored by Bob and Betty Brown in loving memory of Julie Brown. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. This morning, we welcome Pastor Mary Kay Sauter to Zion. Her message is titled, Love Who? Thank you to everyone who donated to strengthen the church offering. $410 was collected. If you haven't donated and would like to, please use either a strengthen the church envelope or one of the spare envelopes in the pews and designate your gift to the strengthen the church offering. Vacation Bible School Living Stories at the Water's Edge will take place June 15th through the 18th at Zion from 8:30 to 12:30. VBS is open to all children from preschool to 6th grade. Healthy snacks and a lunch will be provided each day. You can register on our website and contact Jackie Brown for more information. There is still a need for volunteers to help with VBS. If you're interested, please talk to Jackie or a member of the Christian Education Committee. Support the Fellowship Committee's Rada Cutlery Fundraiser through June 30th. Every purchase of these 100% American-made kitchen tools helps fund our upcoming church projects. Order forms are on the table by the entryway or place your order online. Now let us prepare for worship.
For thousands of years, every morning and evening, Jewish people have prayed these well-known words as a way of expressing their devotion to God. They're called the Shema. Hear, O Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And as for you, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. We're going to look at the fourth key word in this prayer, heart, which in Hebrew is sometimes pronounced levav, or more often in a shorter form, lev. Now, different cultures throughout history have had different conceptions of how the human body works, and this is also true of the ancient Israelite writers of the Bible. They knew that the heart was an organ in the chest that sustains life. There's mention of a heart attack in the Bible, Naval, whose heart died inside of him and he became like stone. But the biblical authors talk about the heart in many other ways that might seem strange to modern readers, and that's because these Israelites had no concept of the brain or any word for it. They imagined that all of a human's intellectual activity takes place in the heart. For example, you know with your heart in the Bible. Your heart is where you understand and make connections. In the book of Proverbs, wisdom dwells in the heart. And your heart is what you use to discern between truth and error, like Solomon did when he was king. So the heart is where you think and make sense of the world, and it's where you do more. In the Bible, the heart is where you feel emotions. You feel pain in your heart, like Hannah did when she couldn't have any children. In fact, the phrase, a broken heart, comes from ancient biblical Hebrew. You also experience fear in your heart. Your heart can melt or be distressed. Your heart can even be depressed. But then, on the flip side, your heart is where you experience joy. In Hebrew, to be happy is to be good of heart, or to have a heart of joy. So the heart is the generator of physical life. It's also the center of your intellectual and emotional life, and there's more. In biblical Hebrew, the heart is where you make choices motivated by your desires. So David had it in his heart to build a temple for God. Your heart is where your affections are centered. They're called the desires of your heart. And if you really want something and go after it, it's like what Nathan said to David, whatever's in your heart, go and do it. So then, in the Bible, the heart is the center of all parts of human existence, as in the well-known proverb, guard your heart, because from it flows your whole life. Now, the prophet Jeremiah believed that the human heart was fundamentally broken. He said, the heart of a human is deceitful above all, irreversibly sick. Who can even understand it? He had watched a whole generation turn away from God. They started sacrificing their children as if that were a good thing. So this is why, in the imagination of the Hebrew prophets, the only hope for humanity is the total renewal of the human heart. Moses predicted that if Israel was ever going to love their God, their heart would need to be circumcised, which is a very vivid and surprising metaphor about removing evil and stubbornness from the human heart. David, after he committed murder and adultery, pleads with God to create in me a pure heart. The prophet Ezekiel hoped for a day when God would remove the heart of stone and give his people a new heart of soft flesh, which is very similar to Jeremiah's hope that God would write the commands of the Torah on the hearts of his people. And that brings us all the way back to the Shema. Every day, God's people are called to devote to God their whole body and mind, their feelings and their desires, their future and their failures. This is what it means to love the Lord your God with all of your heart.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for that. That was very good. Welcome, everyone, to this morning of worship. I am delighted to be back here. It has been a while since I was here. Since I was here last, I have turned 80. So I'm a little bit older than I was when I was here before. But I want to thank you for inviting me to be here, and I am honored and delighted to share this time with you. Welcome, all of you, to this time of worship. Let us worship God with our whole heart at this time.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Link your hearts with one another in God's presence.
The love of God
unites us and causes us to value ourselves and others. Open yourselves to God's wisdom and God's guidance, and receive God's gentle care and loving challenge.
God is
our guide and inspiration. Thanks be to God. Our opening hymn is Creator God, Creating Still, number Opening prayer. We gather this day to worship you. We want to understand more fully what it means to live your way, guided by your Spirit, following the example of Jesus. Open our hearts that we can be more open to your wisdom and more fully in relationship with all your people. Amen. Our song of praise is Holy, 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 number 277 in the hymnal. Please join along in the prayer of confession. Holy God, we confess that we do not always love our neighbor. We confess that we have despised others. We confess that you have been hurt by others. We confess that forgiveness and reconciliation at times are just impossible for us. We know that nothing is impossible in you. We come to you, seeking healing and holiness for us. Help us, whenever possible, to live in peace with others, to seek reconciliation and healing and forgiveness. Now the words of assurance. For nothing is impossible with God. There is no place you can go, no end of the earth you can run, where God cannot find you. There is nothing on earth or beyond death that can separate you from the love of God. Friends, hear the good news. The love of God is beyond measure, and you are included in that love. Know that you are forgiven and are free to love and serve your neighbor. Alleluia. Amen. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. May the peace of the Lord be always with you."
And also with you.
Let us pass the peace with one another.
Are there any prayer requests this morning? Just a minute, I need to find a pen.
Jeff Cady.
Pneumonia and skin cancer. Thank you. And there was another one. Well, then let us be in prayer. You are our loving God. It's hard to imagine at times that you can love everyone, no matter who they are or what they've done. Your love is still there. Not that you want cruel people to be cruel, mean people to be mean, abusive people to be abusive, but in spite of that, your love is still there for them. We pray that they will be able to open their hearts and their minds and their spirit and their very being to that love that you have for all of us, and somehow become more loving themselves. We pray for ourselves that we too will work at being more open to you more of the time, so that your wisdom can be shared with us, so that the love you have for others we can share with others, so that we can work with you to make the world a better place. That's what Jesus was all about. That's what the Holy Spirit works to guide us. Even when it's something we don't want to do, we pray for your strength and again your wisdom, that we will do what you have us do as individuals, as families, as this community of faith. I give you thanks, O God, for this community of faith. Every time I have come here, I have felt loved, and that means a lot. So I give you thanks for them, for Sana, their intern pastor, for the leaders of this community of faith, for the children of this community of faith. And as they go through this interim time, may they be open to you through the process to better understand who you would have them be, so then they can follow your guidance and call someone as their new pastor to help them be that church, that loving, justice-seeking church. So I give you thanks for this community of faith, for the people in it. And we pray for those who are sick, who are struggling in some way. We pray for Jeff Davey, who is been sick, pneumonia. We pray that he will be healed. And for anybody else who needs something special from you, may they be open to that. Again, thank you, God, for the love you share with the whole world, regardless of where people are from, what gender they are, if they're LGBTQ, if they are from different countries or different races, whatever, your love is for all. and may we be about building bridges across our differences. Thank you, God. And we give you thanks for the prayer Jesus taught us that we say together now. Our Father, Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Scripture reading comes this morning from Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, from this time on and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and on the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. He leaves the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. May God add a special blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word.
Amen. Our second reading is Matthew 22:34-46. When the Sadducees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, an expert in the law, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question: "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David by the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to me, to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one is able to give him an answer. Not from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word. Well, as I said, I am delighted to be back here with you this morning. And I want to talk about love. When Jesus was asked the great commandment, he didn't quote one of the Ten Commandments. He said, as we've heard in Sunday school, confirmation, in worship over and over again, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and spirit, and your neighbor as yourself." This is the answer to all the world's problems. If everyone believed this, lived this, the world would be transformed into a safe place for all the children, which would mean for all of us. It sounds kind of easy. Just love each other. Unfortunately, it's not that easy, or we wouldn't have wars, poverty, ecological crises, political divides, and etc. We should all want peace, for everyone to be safe. We should forge partnerships across political divides rather than some have the need for domination. It should be easy, but after centuries, we still haven't figured out. Love who? If we love God and love our neighbor, and remember, it says love ourselves. God, our neighbor, and ourselves, then won't that automatically make us great stewards of God's creation? If we love God, won't we be driven out of that love, out of our thankfulness for this creation and for God's love? Won't we be driven to be great stewards of God's creation, to show that love, to share that love with everyone? How come then it's so much easier to be influenced by family, friends, society, the media, politics, rather than by God and God's word, such as today's text? Richard Weiss, who was a dean at the United Theological Seminary, taught a stewardship workshop I attended. He said that our purpose in life, according to the Bible, is a stewardship of the planet for the sake of all, which is all about loving God, our neighbors, and ourselves. We have been entrusted with God's creation with full responsibility, so what happens to the planet is in our hands. According to Dean Weiss, God created the world and all that lives in it for shalom, a Hebrew word, which means wholeness. God gave creation, the world, a structure, which is justice for all people, which maintains the wholeness or shalom. God created the world with the ability to, to sustain all of its inhabitants and provide everybody with enough. One's surplus should not come at the expense of another's not enough. That's justice. Then Dr. Weiss goes on to say that the church is a community of those who have been restored to this identity and made for this purpose. The church is made to love all creation and justice. The church is to be both the agent and place of experiencing the emergency, the emerging restoration of creation to God's intended shalom, or wholeness. And this wholeness is about sharing God's love with the whole of creation. The who? Everyone. So what's the problem? For the answer, Dr. Weiss returns to our identity issues. He compares what our culture says it means to be fully human and what the Bible says. For example, the Bible says we are to be stewards of creation, while society says we are consumers. The Bible promotes interdependence, partnership. We need each other, and others need us, versus society valuing self-sufficiency, standing alone, be protective of what's ours. The Bible is collaborative versus a society which is competitive. Share the surplus so each has enough versus acquiring and accumulating as much as you can. In order for all to live, each must limit their accumulation, is what the Bible says. Versus society, there is no limit to the satisfaction of our desires. I can have whatever I want, no matter what it costs somebody else. Money, according to the Bible, is just another resource to be allocated to ensure shalom. Versus, if you pay money, you should get something. Our spirit is nurtured by living up to who God made us to be. Our worth is given by God. Versus, our spirit is nourished and our worth is measured by what we possess. As individuals, we should all love the whole of God's creation, all of it, including people we don't like. However, no one individual, no one congregation, denomination, religion is expected to fix the world. Individually, we are to be open to God's calling, God's wisdoms, God's grace and love. Individually, we are to answer that call, recognizing the resources, the skills, the money, the time, the heart, soul, and mind that we bring to the effort, but God's work must be done collectively. You as individuals form a community of faith that wrestles with your use of what you have available to you for this purpose and what other organizations you can work with. Whether you are doing the activities with others from the church or another organization, whether you work or donate money, you are not doing it alone. You are doing the work of God with other people. None of us can do this alone. As you look to the future and how you can be good stewards, Dr. Weiss suggested that we look at three different areas. One, the resources. Buildings and grounds, money, location, relationships, knowledge, and experience. Two, your opportunities. Local and regional, national and global. And three, your people. Skills, knowledge, experience, roles, relationships, time, energy, personal resources. And finally, local and global relationships. All God-given. All given in our calling to serve creation. As you know, these areas are ones we look at through the life, out the life and ministry of a church, but particularly at this time, the time you are in now, your interim time. May it be a very productive and challenging and exciting time for you as you look to the future and the ministry you want to do as God's people. God's love and influence surround all the people every moment of every day. If we were all totally open to God, we would love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and our neighbors as ourselves, and ourselves. I keep reminding us we are to love ourselves, because some do find it hard to love themselves. If that was true, our world would be very different, loving God, our neighbor, and ourselves. Alas, that is not the way of the world, and we are influenced every moment of every day by the whole world around us, everything we have heard, seen, read, experienced. Too often we become more interested in our standard of living than in our quality of life. Too often we become more interested in politics than our relationship with others. More interested in being right than learning more. More interested than power than in kindness. More interested in our commonalities than our differences, which are gifts. Little story. When my granddaughters graduated from high school, I got this tattoo. It's a tree of life with an apple with a bite out of it. I like Eve. And this one says, which I got when my other granddaughter graduated, we have more in common than differences, and our differences are gifts. Our differences are gifts that we should cherish. And by the way, each time I was the oldest person the tattooist had ever given a tattoo to. And I'm glad I have that, both of them. Let's see. And in this day and age, we're more and more of this. We are so divided as a nation. I imagine some of you have family members you're not talking with because of political disagreements. And that is so sad. I'm fortunate not to be experiencing that. And I need to understand that we need to understand each other better. We still need to get together as family, even if it means there are topics we don't talk about. Religion is also so divided these days. I've been reading about Christian nationalism. They are people who believe the United States should only be Christian. The whole of the United States only Christian. No Jews, no Muslims, no Buddhist, just Christian. And some of those people believe the country should be only white. Their goal is to have power in what's called all the seven societal spheres, to instill biblical values and prepare the way for Christ's return, is what they say. The seven spheres, or some call them mountains, are religion, family, education, government, media, arts and entertainment, and business. The goal is for like-minded people to rise in power in all seven mountains and control them so that we will become only Christian, and for many, only white. There would be no more separation of church and state. We know that education is divided, with some wanting our history lessons to be accurate and others just nice. Family, some want women to be homemakers and not have jobs. Media is divided as well, with each telling very different news stories. Entertainment, various folks supporting very different beliefs. And business is also divided, with some making huge amounts of money and supporting particular rich religious groups and political groups. And government, that's where so much of the divide is taking place at this time. I debated whether to share this information, but as I've become more and more aware of this, I am concerned about our country. I am concerned that we aren't showing enough love. One Christian nationalist scolded a minister for his sermon, which was about the Beatitudes. When the minister told him it was in the Bible, the man scolded him and said, "It can't be. It's too soft." I wonder if this person would consider today's scripture too soft. Some call themselves warriors, even, that they are warriors. Love, the kind of love Jesus preached about isn't too soft. It is strong, filled with meaning, takes on challenges, works to create the world a better place for all people, works to keep all the children safe. How many have died because of needless wars in just the last 6 years? Ukraine, Gaza, Lebanon, Iran. And now the outbreak of Ebola in Africa? How many medical problems, from Ebola to cancer and others, could 0.1% of the world's war money have found cures for? Love who? God. We are to love God with our whole being, heart, soul, mind, spirit, and our neighbors as ourselves. And our neighbors are who? Everyone on this planet. Even those we don't like, even those we hate. Doesn't mean we have to have a nice, soft, squishy feeling or agree with them. But we are to love them, which means we wouldn't hurt them. And remember, God loves everyone, even those we don't like. And that love means we don't hurt anyone. We care for everyone and work with God's help to make the world a better place for all. Be open to God's love. Be open to God's guidance to make the world a better place for all people. You be open to God's wisdom just as much as you can, because sharing God's love with all others will make a difference in the world. Amen. Let us join together in singing "Lord, I Want to Be a Christian," number 454.
Thank you.
As we gather in the presence of God, let us acknowledge and act upon the blessings we receive and gifts bestowed upon us. Let us give generously as we are able to fund the ministries of this gathered body and the work of the church in the world. Let us pray together. Giver of all gifts, we seek to share as you have shared with us. We want to serve in the Spirit of Christ. Therefore, we rededicate ourselves with this offering. We ask no more for this faith community than we would ask for all people everywhere. May we love you and one another. Amen. Let us join in singing our closing hymn, Help Us Accept Each Other, number 388. You may not all have agreed with my sermon, and that's okay. We can talk. The world needs to be building bridges across our differences, to celebrate our differences. They are God-given differences. May we be open to God as much as we possibly can, so that we can share God's love with this hurting world, that we may be there for people who need it. And my prayers, I have this deal with God, that whenever I think of somebody, it's a prayer. So through the years, you have been prayed for quite often. And those prayers will continue as you go through this interim process and time. It can be an exciting time, so my prayers will be with you. Again, be open to God. God needs you. Amen.